Dear brethren, it's good to see you here, and I know you had wonderful fellowship. I'm Brother Randy Garwalick, and I'll be your chairman for this afternoon. I was noticing the wonderful fellowship you're having, and I was saying that's a marvelous thing. And so we're have in store for us even more blessings this afternoon. We're going to be served by Brother John Baker in just a little while. And he has chosen for his opening discourse, for the discourse this afternoon, hymn number 193. So let's turn to hymn number 193. And we'll stand at the last verse. Brother Tim Malinowski will lead us in prayer.
Kind or loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy and precious name. Humbly and gratefully we come before thee once again this day to give thanks for this opportunity to gather with those of like precious faith in convention and in fellowship. We're certainly grateful for the Detroit Ecclesia and the labor of love that they provided to each and every one of us to provide this oasis to us this day. We're certainly mindful of those that are going through trials and difficulties. Please be with them and comfort them in accordance with thy will. At this time, dear Lord, we ask a special blessing upon our dear brother John. Please bless and crown his efforts accordingly. We are certainly mindful and grateful of all the many precious promises that you have provided to us, and we leave the rest of this meeting in thy care and keeping. We ask all these things in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you very much. And as we said earlier, some of you were not in. We did notice the quality and the beauty of your fellowship, that everybody is really uplifted by this morning's services. And today it will not be anything different. At this hour, we're going to be privileged to have Brother John Baker speak to us. He has chosen the title, Be Not Overcharged. Brother John.
Thank you, Brother Randy, Brother Tim. Friends, we're very happy to be with you this afternoon. We appreciate the fellowship of the friends here very much. And we bring you the love of our brethren, our dear little ecclesia, the Hope Class in Indiana. They wanted to have their love sent. Also, especially my mom's sister, Isabel. She's gone through surgery 3 weeks ago and was not able to come, but she's certainly here with you in spirit. Brother Mark and Sister Ella Chastain also wanted to be remembered to you. Friends, we really appreciate, in the Lord's providence, this subject is brought to our attention by another ecclesia responsibility that we had, and it's one that we found very personally helpful And so we bring it to you because of that. We've often heard the friends say that, you know, if you point the finger out there, you have three fingers pointing back at you. So whatever we say has much applicability in our own walk as we share these thoughts. We invite you to turn to Luke 21, verse 34 to 36. Luke 21, verse 34 to 36. This is in the context of our Lord's great prophecy, words that he spoke in the last week of his life. And there's much in this prophecy, as you're well aware from your studies, but there's a warning in 34 to 36 that is especially for us living today. Jesus said, "And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For like a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore, and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy," we like the translation, "you may have strength to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man." We appreciate this very much because it shows the Master's care over the body members at the end of the age. Think for a moment of the care he showed in washing the disciples' feet on that last night before he was to be offered. Think about the importance of his instruction to those apostles in that last week. Think of the example of Mary and the lesson that he gave on that occasion. We've long appreciated how much the Lord set aside self to give these very vital lessons to his followers. And it is in this context of that last week that our Lord's thought touches the church down at the end of the age in giving this prophecy. Our Lord knew that our day would be a very perilous time, a time of great trial. Friends, it is also a time of great opportunity. Think for a moment about your great-great-grandparents, for example. Did they expect to live in the same place as their parents? Did they have the same job as what their parents had had? Basically, if you go back 150 years, maybe a little further back, a man lived basically the same way in which his parents did. If you look at the lives of the peasants, they never traveled more than maybe a mile or two from home. Those lives were very limited when you compare them with the opportunities of life that we have today. Our society has been completely turned upside down. The issues are very different. The choices that we have, the abundance of choices that we have today, are what make this time a very great time of peril. So friends, it really encourages us that Jesus, again, gave this warning. And friends, we want to put the warning in the context of the Lord never spoke anything without it being necessary. There's always a reason for what he said, for the words that we find in the scriptures. So this warning will be acted upon and will be a strength to the faithful. So whenever we read a warning in the scriptures, the first tendency that some of us have, and I confess me as well, is to feel condemned. Why didn't I know this? Why haven't I acted on this or corrected it already? But the warnings are given so that we can act, and they're meant to be an encouragement and a spur to arrange our lives to get the most good out of them in his service. In the context, we'd like to note, brethren, we'd like to jump back to verse 25 to 28. It says, "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your deliverance draweth nigh." There's a tremendous contrast in what the Lord says here. And sometimes we don't appreciate the depth of this, that these experiences in the world, the troubles that we see, you know, these shakings that are going to shake out everything that is man-made, basically. These shakings, which are testing every person, they're not meant to shake out the church. It's kind of amazing how one set of experiences that mankind is going through together to one class, it's a sign of the blessings to come. And we, the church, Jesus says, you lift up your heads, for your deliverance draweth nigh. So to speak, while everyone else in the world around us is concerned deeply, what does this mean, the terrorism in the earth today? What are the portents of these great financial upheavals that we see? You know, mankind is connected today in a way that whatever happens in the earth can immediately be a concern over the whole world. And we wonder, how can this happen? You know, Brother Ken mentioned the Madrid train bombing. We have the ability to look on TV and to put ourselves in that experience and think, what if we had been there? It's kind of interesting the way the Lord is putting the world's concerns up before everyone. But again, for us, the trouble that we know is because the old order is passing away, because our Lord is present, because his kingdom of righteousness and peace is coming in, and it's disrupting the old order, which is going out. That isn't a clean process. It's a process full of trouble. As verse 27 says, he comes in a cloud with power and great glory. Men can't perceive yet that the Lord is behind the trouble, but they surely see the trouble and don't understand the cause. We, however, have been privileged to have our minds open to the meaning of events today. And it is only because of present truth that we can lift our hearts and our minds up to realize these events portend soon the writing of God's law on every human heart. Well, brethren, we mention this context because we have a class whose hearts are failing them for fear, who are in perplexity. We have another class that's lifting up their heads. And in this context, Jesus gives this warning. He's really warning about a mixed condition. And we often speak of the great company as trying to hold on to the things of the earth with one hand and also to hold on to the heavenly promises with the other. And this is really what the warning is about. Not to let ourselves get in a mixed condition where our interests are tied into the affairs of earth more or less. Now, that's an interesting concept, brethren. It doesn't mean we aren't affected by the experiences we see in the world. We are to be a sympathetic high priesthood. These experiences will have meaning to us at that level. But our hopes, our aims, our aspirations are not tied in, should not be tied in with the things of this earth. And that's what Jesus is warning about in verse 34. Now, we'd like to comment here on what it means to be overcharged. If you look in the Greek, this is from Strong's number 925. That word means to weigh down or to be burdened. So we think about, do we have burdening experiences? Do we feel weighed down by the responsibilities of life? One sister put it, you kind of feel as if your life is cluttered up, so to speak. In the parable of the sower, we'll mention Matthew 13, 22 here. Let's turn there, Matthew 13, 22. The parable of the sower also mentions the cares of this life. And it speaks instead of a burdensome weight. It says, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. The point here is these burdens are like weeds that would choke out the growth of the new creature. And brethren, it really is amazing again to think about the privileges that we have today. You know, we have privileges on the internet of reaching out and witnessing that far surpass anything, in the way of outreach into countries all over the world in an instant. That is tremendous technology. And yet, This technology is the source of a great trial to us. We can investigate anything on the internet, anything that would be of interest to us at all. I happened to be on the webpage the other day and found out there's a society for mushroom hunting. So if you're interested in that, you can go out and you can find all their festivals. You can find out how to go about it. I mean, if there's any interest that captivates one in any way, it's out there on the internet. So we have these blessings. How do we use them? Is a part of this question. So the scripture here, to be overcharged, means to be weighed down or to be burdened. And I think we can all ask ourselves in our consecration, are there things that are weighing down and burdening us? And what are those things and what can we do about them? The theme text here mentions three conditions we'd like to try to outline. If you go back to Luke 21, overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. Usually when this text is discussed, we focus on the cares of this life. But we'd like to expand on the other two parts first. Surfeiting has the thought of overindulgence. It may also have the thought of a hangover. In other words, an overindulgence and kind of the sick feeling that is the result of an overindulgence. And we believe, friends, that this ties in with the materialism of our day. How do men react when their hearts are failing them for fear? You know, it's often amazed me that we don't see even more despondency and suicide and so forth than we do in society. Those are certainly trends that are greater than they were in the past. But one thing, brethren, we've observed is there's a tremendous amount of escapism in the world today. Whether it's movies or sports, we have a tremendous entertainment industry. And people are living vicariously through watching the soap opera or whatever other television show they find an interest in. And you know, brethren, does that solve the problems of life? It doesn't. It's an escape for a time. It takes the person's mind off their problems at work, perhaps. It doesn't take away those problems. And so we think that this being overcharged with surfeiting is that man has tried to find satisfaction in the material things. And in the end, we know they don't satisfy. They don't take away the loss of a loved one. They don't change the opposition one might have in their own family or in work. They do nothing about that. The second condition mentioned here is drunkenness. And we would liken this, friends, to ambition. Today, there are every avenue in the world to try to, you know, find fulfillment. The world says to us today, you can have it all. You can have home, and you can have career, and you can be, you know, in charge of this society, or you can, you know, lead this charge in the world to try to make things better. And friends, who has a better vision than we do of what society should be? When you see what the kingdom blessings portend. And one trial that some have had is getting involved with reform efforts today, so to speak, playing kingdom before its time. That's one example, we believe, brethren. Someone could have an ambition for, you know, making money. Maybe they've been deprived in their life in the past, and in order to have security, they think the way is to amass wealth. Some have that trial. Or perhaps it's a riches of reputation that is the trial. But we believe this drunkenness relates to an ambition to attain some worldly end. We appreciate the point, I don't know if it's original with Brother Burns, but we should keep in mind that we are just polishing the brass on the Titanic if we're trying to improve. And friends, you know, it's easy sometimes to say, you know, that doesn't seem like a big trial. I'm going to share a personal point. I work for a state agency, and I have responsibility for budget. And one of the things that plagues me is we have certain staff who are not adequately reimbursed for the work that they do. The system is unjust. How responsible am I to try to fix that injustice? How much time would I put in to try to fix this point? That's a trial that I have personally. So we think it's not real easy sometimes to say, this isn't a trial for any of us. We may have opportunities to fix some problems along the way, but we don't want to get the thought, I've had this test. Well, because the Lord's people are here, you know, maybe we can fix this up and clean up a little bit before, you know, the kingdom takes place. How do we know the Lord wants that to happen? How do we know that maybe it isn't the failure of our efforts or the experience in seeing how that aspect of society is failing? How do we know that is not the very experience we need? As our consecration to improve things as they exist today, or is our consecration to sacrifice, to have that privilege on the other side in the kingdom? Now, the third condition, friends, is the cares of this life that's mentioned. And brethren, we like to think of this in terms of an over-responsibility, where surfeiting may be just kind of relaxing and enjoying the pleasures of this life, and drunkenness may represent being captivated with some object or aim in society today. Some of us are approached from the standpoint of responsibility. What can I do to give my children the best start in this life? How do I take care of my aged parents? You know, brethren, if you analyze where you are and you think about all the people you interact with and you think about their experiences, I bet you can find plenty of things that you could encourage them or you could assist them with, far more than what you could handle. Some of the brethren are really plagued with that. There are many widows in the body today, and they have needs. How do we balance trying to encourage and support them with the other responsibilities of life that we carry? Brethren, in this category, we can go overboard. That's the reason we like to put the point of over-responsibility in here. The Lord does know about what we have as our mortgages, and he understands those proper mortgages upon our time. What our test is, in part, how far do we take those? How far do we try to please a parent or a child or a loved one or a boss? How far do we take those things? Brethren, one point here we would make is don't let the world make its problems your problems. At your workplace, brethren generally are very conscientious, and the employers recognize that and like to put the brethren in charge of responsible projects or projects that need someone to carry through and follow through. Did you ever look around at your coworkers and think, how does he get away with, he doesn't put in extra time, he doesn't do the work to make sure that it's accurate on these various points, but I feel responsible to do that. How can he get away with that, but I'm expected to hold this higher standard? Now, friends, we mention these things just to identify the problem. We're going to talk about some antidotes as we go. But when our Lord gave this warning, he was saying there is a very deep test that all of us would have living at this time. Will we let anything, whether it's the pleasures of this life, the cares of this life, or the ambitions today, would we let any of those things displace in any way our affection for him and our goal in serving him and laying down our consecration? And each one of us has at least one Achilles heel. We appreciate the point brought up this morning about, you know, the man without self-control. The scripture speaks to how he's like a city without walls that are broken down. You know, brethren, the point is we all have things in which the adversary can test and try us. And we are really beset today because it is the time when he is putting forth a frenzy of delusion in the world to try to hold on to his kingdom. Well, one antidote in this regard, brethren, is making straight paths for our feet. Those things that are difficult for us, if we have an interest in something, we should set up barriers between ourselves and that temptation. In other words, we should try to repair the breach. If you take that picture of a city whose walls are broken down, we should try to repair those walls. We should try to avoid those things that are a trial to us and to lay our affections, our treasures up more and more in the heavenlies. So we believe what we have, friends, we have a warning about cares, pleasures, and also any ambitions that we might try to take up in this world. Brethren, verse 34, a part that we found great comfort in, is that it emphasizes to take heed to our hearts, that our hearts not be overcharged with these conditions. Why is it that we have this warning toward our hearts? You know, brethren, when you came in consecration, the invitation was, "My son, give me thine heart." The heart represents the real person that we are. We love the way Peter calls it, the hidden man of the heart. You know, what we are is not what we appear to be on the outside. You know, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart and knows. You know, he knows us from our down-sitting to our uprising. So, brethren, it's the issues of life in the heart. We're told to keep our heart, for out of it are the issues of life. Why does the Scripture say, lay up your treasure in heaven, for where your heart is, there will be your treasure also? The heart represents the true indication of our condition. So for our heart to lay hold of an over-responsibility or of ease of some sort or some ambition that's not approved of the Lord, it's not a holy ambition, that would divide our affections from our Heavenly Father and His Son. We want to be single-hearted or wholehearted in our service. And it's the adversary's object to divide that, to get a wedge in, if at all possible, he can. Brethren, living today can be very hard. You know, if you're in the workaday world and you've got responsibilities for children, some have for aged parents, and the workaday world today in this country, downsizing is the order of the day. Just add more and more work onto the ones who are remaining. We have, as we said, all these options. I wonder sometimes with parents helping their children, how do you decide, you know, there's so many activities to be involved with. You know, what is reasonable, what is not reasonable? You have choices about college. And brethren, we think that's a special part of the trial for parents today too, because we mentioned that a trial is living vicariously. Life is hard today. And, you know, it's not like, as we said, you don't have the expectation that your life would be just the same as your father's. We expect life will be better. We expect our children to have a better life in this world today. So we want them to make the right choices. We want to give them all the advantages. You know, brethren, we really appreciate, we were studying recently in our personal study about parental obligations. And we'd never noticed before, but Brother Russell pointed out, what is the most important education of all? And he said, it's the heart culture. And we really appreciated that. Whatever situation, whatever experience our children would be in, if they had at heart a confidence in the Lord and in His plan, that would relieve so many of these concerns that we have about their place and position in the world. And friends, we really appreciated that because, you know, we don't know what experiences we'll have in this country. Brethren, I find it very remarkable that we have been as shielded today as we have been. I mean, if you think about the Bible student movement in this country, you know, when did the brethren become middle class? The Lord's people have almost always been the poor, if you look at the past ages. Again, we have all these benefits, and what are we doing with these benefits? When did that happen? And brethren, we can't expect these things to continue. We know there has to be a consummation, and the kingdom will have to come. This country will have to go down as well. So all those earthly advantages we give our children, we don't know how long the time's going to be. The most important thing, again, is that keeping of the heart. That's the important thing for our children in the time of trouble as well. If they have that heart culture and that confidence in the Lord, that will be the best thing to aid them, whatever trials yet would lay ahead. Friends, we wanted to add here Ephesians 6:16. We'd never noticed this before. One of our antidotes today is to take the armor. I believe it was mentioned earlier today. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 11 says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." We really appreciate that, brethren, because we don't often think about in our experiences how we have this wily adversary who is trying to put this wedge in among our affections. We don't often think in that context. We tend to think in terms of how do we take care of our experiences. We don't put it all in the Lord's hands as we should, and that leaves us exposed to the tempter because we all have conceptions about how our life should be. And it's a test of do we keep laying up whatever the Lord permits in the way of our experience? Do we really believe all things work together for good? Do we really appreciate that when things go wrong, apparently, in our experiences? We all have experiences when trouble comes in like a flood. We have experience with loved ones who die. We have experiences with being overextended in this life with our responsibilities. Brethren, I think the point that, maybe jumping a little bit ahead, but the point we're getting at is it's the keeping of our heart that is the most important. Whatever experience it is that we have, we can't guarantee we're not going to have troubles come in like a flood. We're not going to find peace by settling all our experiences down. But we can have that peace at heart in whatever experience does come. And that comes from that close tie to our Heavenly Father through our prayers, our studies, our meditations, our doing of His will. Now, friends, we got into this because, as we mentioned, the adversary, we don't want to try to fight the adversary on our own. We want to take the scriptural admonitions. And the one that we especially appreciate, because we can't go into all of the armor at this point, but in verse 16, it says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." You know, you get the picture, brethren. Here's the adversary with his bow trying to shoot these various trials at us. And how do you meet those trials? How do you successfully address them? Again, brethren, whatever the adversary does, whatever trouble he can stir up, can you say, "He means it for evil, but God means it for good"? Do we accept it from the Heavenly Father? That whatever the trial is, there's something in our character to work out. Maybe it's courage to face the trial. Maybe it's submission. Maybe it's patience. But these things are not for naught. They all have meaning. Brethren, some of you may have had, I've had this trial myself. You can tend to think of your work experience as what you do until you can actually do the consecrated things you want, you know, after hours, so to speak. Our work is part of our consecration. The Lord is dealing with us vitally in those workaday experiences. We need to keep in mind those are a part as well. This isn't the part of my life that I manage, and then the Lord manages the extra time. The whole thing is given up into the Lord's service. Now, brethren, we really emphasize this point about faith and the shield of faith because that is the critical point. Are we willing to let the Lord have His way in our experiences? When we consecrated, we gave our all. And whether it's privation or sickness or riches, whatever it is, do we take that experience from Him in faith, realizing it's either a test for our learning and development, it's a privilege that we may serve better? Do we take it in that fashion? Friends, for us today, with again, the wealth and so much that we have, the fourth volume really struck me, brethren, in studying it, because there's so many concerns about, so many scriptures about the heaping together of riches for the last day and not trusting in uncertain riches. We are so rich today, brethren. And the question is, how are we using that for the Lord? Are we trusting in self and in those riches? Are we trusting in the Heavenly Father, that if they were gone tomorrow, we'd go right on serving? That He would want us to serve differently at that point? These are very basic questions, we think, brethren, in our consecration. But the point again is, whatever the experience, do we look up in faith and thank the Lord and try to see, Lord, how would you have me carry out my consecration now with this changed circumstance? If our heart is centered in that way, brethren, we're not overcharged. Our lives may be very busy. You know, this is not a warning against being busy. It's not a warning against sacrificing too much. We should be sacrificing. We should be busy and about the Lord's service. It's a warning about doing things in our own might and the ways that we think we should carry out our consecration. It's a warning against taking time out for the ease. It's a warning against taking all the burden on ourselves of responsibility instead of casting it upon the Lord. So, brethren, when you have these fiery darts, use that shield. Remember, nothing touches one of the Lord's little ones without His knowledge, without His permission. And there is a purpose in that experience for you. And keep in mind, brethren, that shield is part of what covers the heart. We really appreciate that connection here. It's almost like faith is the door to our heart. You know, brethren, if you have an experience, which I think most of us probably have, of being burdened down in some trial, do you take your experience as well? How do you act toward your loved ones? You know, brethren, when you're connected with the Lord, isn't everything so much easier to take? Sometimes at work you might feel like, boy, if they bring me one more project, how can I take it? And yet, brethren, if you put it in the Lord's hands, Lord, not my will, but thine, sometimes those things that look like mountains really aren't very big. You know, Brother Edmund Jesuit gave us an illustration we really appreciated. You know, if you take a piece of gravel and you hold it up here in front of your eyes, it looks like a boulder. But if you open your hand and drop it on the ground, it doesn't look like much. And friends, that's what we do in our experiences sometime. We toil over and worry over something that isn't the way we think it should be, and it's like this little rock right in front of your eyes. You can't see anything else. When really, it's not a big problem if we can give it to the Lord and put it in His hands. So, brethren, that heart connection between us and the Heavenly Father is really critical. That's why we have to keep this heart and not let our hearts be overcharged. Sometimes, brethren, at work or with a responsibility, your mind might be full of whatever that experience is. The question is, when that pressure is relieved, where does our heart turn to? I think that's a real question for us if we're looking, are we overburdened? Are we finding our satisfaction in going back to the Lord and giving Him the trial or experience? Are we finding it in some earthly thing? Are we trying to solve it ourselves? For if it's the latter things, brethren, then we think we have a problem, that we need to see like the needle to the pole, that we're going right to the Lord with all of our trials and our experiences. Friends, we have a sister in our class. You know, we really appreciate the testimony meetings because they're where you really get to know your brethren and you really get to understand some of the things that the Lord lets them face. And friends, this sister is a nurse. And for those who are in the nursing world, this may sound very familiar. But in her job, again, you have the downsizing issue. And one of her real concerns is, you know, how do I take care of my patients when I have more patients and less healthy patients, because you have all these outpatient, you know, situations today where they're sent off as soon as they can be. How do I take care of sicker patients, more of them, in the same amount of time? How do I do that? And what happens if I make a mistake and I lose my license? You know, brethren, that's a very real concern. And this is the kind of position we believe many of the brethren are being put in today, because things are being speeded up, more is being expected all the time. You know, Brother Russell uses the example in the fourth volume that mankind's being ground between the upper and the nether millstone, you know, necessity and the law of supply and demand. And brethren, that really is what's happening today when you look at the world situation. And that gets carried out on a small scale in people's everyday lives, in the brethren's everyday lives. Well, friends, one of the first things that we have to keep in mind is the Lord knows all about it. He knows this dear sister's experience. And he's not going to permit something to happen that isn't needful in her experience. And friends, another point that I get great encouragement out of, the fact that the time has gone on so long and we're still here. Mankind's experience, we believe, is different because of the speed and because of all these pressures that have been added today. And friends, it's encouraging to me that I have experiences that are common to man, because who will sympathize with these better than those who have gone through that with them? So, brethren, if we can have the victory in these experiences, and these experiences being pressed so hard in the flesh, you know, you can think of it as a victory that will help all those in the kingdom. It's not just a victory for me, but a victory for all those that, if I'm faithful, I might have charge over in that kingdom. So, friends, the point for this dear sister, you know, how do we know what experiences that we need? Brethren, how do I know that I don't need the experience of losing a home or losing a job? How do I know that that isn't what is necessary for me to fully let go of the things of this earth and be faithful? We don't know what we need, brethren. You know, when I first consecrated, I thought, well, you just study and you figure out what you need and you do it, you know? Well, brethren, the Lord touches us very deeply. He tries the reins, where? Of our heart. The Lord proves us to see how much devotion is there. Is it an overcoming devotion, a singleness of heart to serve Him fully? And so, brethren, we shouldn't be surprised. I would think about that scripture. Don't be surprised at the fiery trial that should try you or your brethren. We have to be touched very deeply, brethren. You know, just think how amazing it is to be taking a human being in sin and transform that human being, you know, beget a new nature and develop a new creature to live on the divine plane. You know, brethren, think about the reward, all these things. It's so hard sometimes to serve the Lord. We have these desires of what we want to do, and the world presses in, the responsibilities press in. But brethren, think about, if you're faithful, there won't be any more fightings within. There won't be any more doubts. Doing the Lord's will be effortless and with the power of a divine being. You know, brethren, our faith needs to lay out or stretch out and take hold of the precious promises. You know, we like the definition of faith as being faith is what makes the unseen things real to us. We need to have a faith that reaches out to those precious promises, because they're what lift us up above these daily experiences which are always trying to pull us down. You know, again, don't let the world make its problems your problems. So, friends, the dear sister, we have to encourage her along the line. You know, we don't know what the experience is, but we do know the Lord has the charge of it, And it's really an opportunity, brethren, if you have a trial, it's really an opportunity, if you look at it this way, to become much closer to your Heavenly Father and to His Son. Friends, these things aren't easy. We have a battle that has to be won, has to be fought and won. And what the flesh would like for us to do is to find kind of a middle ground where, you know, we're satisfied, we're doing some things for the Lord, but we're giving the flesh some things for its, you know, ease and comfort as well. And brethren, the answer to the flesh always is, I sacrificed you when I consecrated. I gave up the earthly interests for the hope of the heavenly. And friends, again, it's hard because we're in this world that is constantly putting forward other ideas, other information, other schemes. Brethren, we mentioned earlier playing kingdom. It would be easy for us to do that. It seems like our experience is the Lord gives us very noble-minded people to work with, and it's really a blessing, but it's really a trial because they want to reform the earth, whether it's education or whatever it is. And it can be easy to get caught up with playing kingdom when really our job is to lay aside this flesh and to do the Lord's will daily and not get captivated with another project. Friends, what do we do if we recognize some of these tendencies in ourselves? Friends, again, first keep in mind, Jesus gave this warning because of his love for the church. He knew it would be necessary for us. We often think, if you ever work with someone and they get a job evaluation, and sometimes a person will be upset and say, well, gee, if they would just have told me this, I wouldn't do that. But nobody ever told me. Well, friends, here we have the Lord saying, here are the very things to avoid. Again, not to discourage us, but to help us to recognize this condition and to fight it if we have a tendency to being overcharged in whatever avenue. Well, friends, first off, Jesus tells us to watch and pray. That's the first thing in Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy. Again, the better translation is have strength to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. This is really, brethren, like being aware and connected. You know, be aware that as a son of God, you must have transforming experiences. There must be threats from the adversary, and our role is to overcome those threats. And how do we do that? By being connected to our Heavenly Father, by following His will, by living as He would have us to live, by accessing His power through prayer. So, brethren, these are very critical things. And we wanted to mention here as well, you know, our Heavenly Father is so good, brethren, to give us not just the future. We talked about the promises. This future, you know, tremendous blessing if we're faithful to be with Him, to help mankind. There's so many precious things, aspects to that. But doesn't it amaze you that He also gives us a present inheritance? You know, that's one thing that amazed me the first time I read the sixth volume, to think it's not that He just gives us trial after trial after trial. You know, when you consecrate, the Lord could ask all of that of you all at once. You could just have experience after experience until the end. But along the way, He gives us the fruitage, if we're following through faithfully, the fruitage of that Holy Spirit. You know, the rest and the peace is two particular aspects of it. So, brethren, as we have these trials, and if we are watching and praying, we have access to the Father, we have this peace, and we can appreciate more of what these fruits mean in our daily walk. So it's not only that we have a future hope, but we have present blessings. And brethren, if you noticed in verse Matthew 13:22, this is in regard to the seed growing and the weeds arising and choking. It says, they choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. The Luke account of this says, he brings no fruit to perfection. You know, brethren, do you think in terms of, do you want to please your Heavenly Father? Do the most you can to really please your Heavenly Father? And John records Jesus' words that the Father is much pleased that we bring forth fruitage. And if you look here in Matthew 13:23, it says, he that receives seed in the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, who also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some an hundredfold, some 60, some 30. You know, brethren, the adversary in the world, in our flesh, would bring us down not to be fruitful, again, to divide our affections. But our desire, our zeal should be to bring forth as much fruitage for the Heavenly Father as possible in the ways that we've been mentioning, brethren. So being overcharged has a present impact on our character development, is the point. Brethren, it also has a present impact on our spiritual vision. And that's the importance behind these words, watch and pray. It's also to understand the times and season that we are living in the hour of temptation, to be aware of that. Brethren, sometimes I've had experiences where something happens at work and you're concerned about what happened, and we can forget. You know, with the Lord's presence, society is being disarranged. So one brother, for example, he lost his job. It happened to be related to a job that had to do with military manufacturing. And you know, brethren, that's a little foretaste of beating their swords into plowshares. So if we see something happen in the world and it impacts us negatively, should we be upset if we can realize it's a sign of what's happening in the new day? Brother Russell talks about that in the reprints in terms of Social Security. What if Social Security came along and money was taken out of the brethren's pockets that they were relying on, and yet it was something for the common good of mankind? Should we be upset about that as we expect the kingdom? That was the question in his day. So we have similar questions today in the way that our jobs change. Brethren, today the experts say that you'll change your job, you know, 10 or 15 times. Not just that you'll have a different boss, but your work will actually change. And that the kids graduating today, you know, in 10 years, they'll have jobs that aren't even created yet. You know, brethren, I don't know about you, but that daunts me. You think about that. I have to keep learning over and over again, wasting my time. Well, is it a waste of time? That's something the Lord wants us to go through. If we put it in his hands, maybe the Lord delivers us from that, you know. But again, brethren, I think that the point is, it's a very trying time, and it's a time that would rob us from the very blessings the Lord has designed in our day. So instead of being upset about the changes in society, let's appreciate them as evidences of the Lord's presence. Brethren, the third part here, again, is this takes away from our relationship to the Heavenly Father. So being overcharged has a definite present impact. The end impact, brethren, we believe is, this is the definition of the great company, that they are overcharged. They don't have the full spiritual vision they should have. They don't have that connection to the Lord that they should have. And that's why the Lord gave this warning. It's easy to take a middle course. It's easy to compromise and give in some to the flesh or to the world that may think we're very peculiar because we don't live according to their rules. So the first warning is watch and pray, or the first antidote, brethren. The second one is to be sure we feed the new creature. Brethren, if I come home, sometimes it's very difficult, but if I lift my thoughts to the Lord and put the time in study, I feel so refreshed as a result. Sometimes I have to fight in prayer to turn off those things that would plague me so from the world. And friends, we would mention particularly prophecy. is important, to understand the times and the seasons, you know, to appreciate how close that we are. You know, brethren, there is no more sanctifying truth, no more inspiring truth than the Lord's second presence and the hope of being with Him. Are we like the bride who is making herself ready, who doesn't want to leave out any little bit of the preparation, but wants to be ready in every aspect, whatever the master would desire? That's the ideal, friends. So, those wise virgins had their lamps trimmed and burning. They not only had an understanding of truth, but they were applying it along the way. We'll mention a few more quick anecdotes, brethren. Hebrews 12:1 says, lay aside every weight. That's a word in the Greek very much like the one for the being overcharged. Brethren, if you can, simplify your life as much as possible. We choose our lifestyle by and large today. It's not like we mentioned, if your father was a farmer, you're a farmer. Keep your life simple. Keep yourself available. If your hand is open to serve the Lord, sooner or later the Lord will put work in there for you to do. In terms of the needs of the brethren, as we mentioned, friends, there's plenty to do out there. But there are other ways He may use you if your hand is open in His service. Brethren, even the experts today, you know, if you look at the Stephen Coveys and so forth, they will tell you the same thing. The world is coming to these conclusions. You know, since September 11th, people are recognizing they don't want to put their whole life into work. They can't manage the pressure of both job and family. And there are many who are opting out of the way the world is trying to do it today. Now, brethren, we mentioned lay hold on the precious promises. Lay up our treasure in heaven. Brethren, a very precious one in 1 Peter 5:7. Cast all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. You know, brethren, do you really appreciate what that means? That the Lord knows just what the care is that you're carrying. And He cares about you. He's interested in that. He's interested that you make your calling election sure. He will do everything to help you be an overcomer. But we have the part to do to keep putting our consecration, seeking His guidance in all these affairs of our life. Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. How many times going to a meeting have you been lifted up when you didn't feel like going, and the flesh didn't feel like going? And be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Brethren, we want to keep these things in mind, the keeping of our heart, the importance of faith, and being connected to our Heavenly Father, and to be ready, as the pictures show, to be ready as the bride is ready for the wedding. We ask the Lord's overruling on these words and pray they've been a help to you.
Thank you very much, Brother John, for those words. I appreciated the reminders about fleeing, that it ties so much well in with our scripture theme, fleeing a world corrupted by lust. I also added a note here, cultivating a heart culture with our children, a heart culture of those who are new in the truth, and seeing that they also gain confidence in the Lord, and especially in the scriptures. On that note, too, there's a small announcement, brethren. There will be a CO meeting between 4 and 4:30 in the room just beyond the dining room. Just beyond the dining room, between 4 and 4:30. Yes, we did appreciate Brother John helping us through this very heart-searching topic. He warned us to take time out, not to take time out from our consecrations along the lines of the flesh. A reminder that we gave up our earthly life rights, but that we also have such a rich present inheritance in the truth. And we were reminded also to bring forth fruit. We appreciate those comments, Brother John, and know we'll be blessed by them. Our intermission is very short, brethren, so we do ask you to be back in rather shortly, very quickly after the intermission. Brother John has chosen hymn number 4. We'll close with that, probably looking at verses 1, 2, and 4. Stand at the... Oh, I'm sorry. He has a special request, too. Hymn number 242. I'm sorry. He did ask for hymn number 242. So let's turn in our hymn books to number 242. Stand at the last verse. Gracious and eternal Heavenly Father, we come to Thee, Lord, so thankful for Thy word and the lessons that You've given to us, so thankful for the care and concern of our dear Master and His advocacy for us, and to remember that He is at Thy right hand, ever making intercession for Thy people. We're so thankful, Father, that You do supply all our need, and that despite whatever obstacles, whatever trials that we may have, we know that nothing is impossible with Thee, that nothing is too hard for Thee. We pray, Father, that Thou would increase our faith and our confidence, Thou would help us in our walk along the way, and that we might help each other in this way. We long to see Thee, dear Father, and to see the church complete and these blessings to go out to mankind. So we ask Thy help, Father, as we
have these trials and travails to ever keep these promises in mind and to keep laying our treasure up in heaven with thee. We do ask it all in thy overruling for anything said amiss, asking it through Christ. Amen.